Hello, sacred beings. Welcome to Sacred Sister Podcast. Join us as we normalize the magic and sacralize the mundane.
Expanding consciousness and deepening awareness to support you in leading a life full of healing, meaning, and magic.
I'm your host, Britt Lynn, energetic cartographer and personal transformation coach.
I'm your host, Tana Lina, a certified astrologer, rebirth coach, and sorceress.
If you're brand new here, welcome, beloved. We are so grateful, so happy to have you here. If you're a seasoned sacred being, welcome back. Thank you so much for your support, for your listenership, and we look forward to seeing you in the show.
Let's dive in. Welcome, sacred beings, to another episode of Sacred Sister Podcast. We are so excited to be sitting here with Tara Wild. She is, and I just realized that your last name is like perfect for what you're doing, actually. Tara Wild is a women's educator, storyteller, and songstress focusing on uplifting nature-based feminine wisdom and ancestral teachings from Ireland and Britain. She's been on a journey of remembering and reclamation for over 10 years, honoring the earth-based feminine wisdom left in her blood and bones. So in this episode, we're going to be diving into this grounded spirituality, this way of really deeply diving into the feminine wisdom within us all. Thank you so much for being here with us, Tara Wild.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a joy to be here.
You know, it's so beautiful. And Hannah and I were just talking about this earlier this morning as we were preparing for this interview, that each and every guest that we feature, that we ask to come on and share their wisdom, share their medicine with our Sacred Sister Podcast audience, and Hannah and I as well, is just how unique the flavor of medicine and the flavor of your unique soup is. We've been witnessing you from afar for a little while, and it's just so potent to really witness. I feel like in this Aquarian age, we have access to just so many people and so many women coming online with like even more, just so much conviction and so much beauty in what it is that they're placed here for and what it is that their innate gifts are. And with that being said, I'm so excited to dive into today's episode topic, and I would love to turn the stage, turn the platform over to you. Please help us ground down into some of the magic and beauty of your medicine.
Absolutely. So I invite everyone who's listening to gently close their eyes in this moment and start by connecting with your breath. Just take a few deep breaths and feel your body, feel your place upon the earth, and really feel the land beneath your feet as feminine, as deeply feminine, and to feel that the land is holding you inside her sacred cycles, her seasons. And there's this loving heart deep down in the soils that has always been there. And you are connected to that heartbeat of the earth, that heartbeat of the land beneath your feet, wherever you are. I now invite you to gently turn your awareness to the fact that you belong to a lineage, to the fact that there are thousands and thousands of ancestors standing behind you who have walked this beautiful earth before you. Feel them standing behind you and know that you have wise elders in your lineage who are really praying for you to remember the power of lineage, to remember who you truly are and your sacred place in the lineage. So just imagine this lineage stretching back behind you, maybe as a river or a thread of light. And no matter what feelings you have about your recent ancestors, know that there is so much wisdom and medicine in your lineage. So just breathe into this for a few moments, feeling your connection to land and lineage. This is the very root of who we are. It's so simple and yet so powerful. Binakti, blessings, and Mila Brihas, a thousand thanks to all of you for being here and for going on this short journey with me. And as you open your eyes, just feel a sense of gratitude for your ancestors and for the land.
Thank you for sharing that. I'm so curious to know at the end of what it was that you said here, what the language was for that. What did you speak something in another language, and what was it? What did you bless us with?
Yes. So I've been learning Irish for the past few years. I'm still very much a beginner, but I really love to bring the Irish language into some of my devotions because it has such a powerful energy. I like to weave that in. So Binakti means blessings and Mila Brihas means a thousand thanks.
Oh my gosh, tears were flowing down when you were sharing about all the ancestors and feeling them. And I'm like, oh, wow. That was so beautiful to tune into. And what came up for me too was that we are ancestors as well. And so my descendants in front of me and my ancestors behind me, and realizing this power of the lineage and how we are a part of lineage. And additionally to that, it puts a whole nother level onto being a mother and onto motherhood. Because as a mother, you're giving birth to the descendants of your lineage, and you're actually the one who is keeping your lineage alive on earth. Just that's such a deeper magic. And we just came back from my dear sisters, Brits, your co-host, Sacred Sister Podcast, Blessing Way. And it was so magical. It was so magical. And do you want to share a little bit about what came up for you, Brett, and just how it all weaved into having Tara Wild on here? Because we actually had this conversation scheduled for another time, and it ended up not happening for all three of us. It was kind of perfect and divine timing that it didn't end up happening. And now knowing we had to experience this Blessing Way before diving into this episode makes this just so magical and divinely timed.
Yeah. And even before, there's like a part of me that's like, if you go in this direction, you're not going to come back to this one. So I want to touch on this too, Hannah. I just love how you were talking about the descendants and witnessing yourself as the ancestor that's keeping your lineage alive. My thought stream went to the other direction of feeling the hands on our shoulders from the ancestors and how it almost helps me breathe. And I wonder if you feel this with your clients as well. And it's a part of your story as well, Tara, that we can almost breathe such a sigh of relief when we understand that so much of what our energetics hold and carry within us so much of the cycles that we feel empowered to shift and change and transmute here in this lifetime is a part of something that's so much deeper than our just like lived reality here. And when we can plug into the ancestry and the codes that have just been traveling down for so long, for me at least, it helps me breathe a sigh of relief and be like, oh, this is not just my work to do. As a matter of fact, I'm like 1/364th of what's going on here. And really, I can just, now I have the conscious awareness of like how to transmute these energies in myself so that these wounds do not have to pervade my bloodline moving forward. Can you speak a little bit to that? I know I'm not the only one.
Oh, yes. There is so much more to our lineages than we think we know. There are things that we sort of conceptually maybe know about our family history and our recent ancestors, but our lineage is so, so much more than that. And, you know, it's so interesting that modern science is now, there's now this new field of study called epigenetics that's actually sort of scientifically proving that the traumas of our ancestors, especially our parents and our grandparents, so more directly, you know, in our lineage, their experiences and their traumas affect us on a genetic level. And to me, there's still so much more to be said about this, because our coding is not just, you know, our physical traits, like I have my mother's eyes and my father's nose and, you know, those things. It's stories. Our DNA holds stories. And so for me, this path of walking with the ancestors is so much about understanding the stories that have come down to me through my DNA and understanding the wounds and patterns so that I can clear and release what I'm here to clear and release. I really believe in what I call ancestral destiny, that we all have a place in the lineage that's very unique, and we all have an opportunity to heal and to remember and reclaim our ancestral wisdom and clear ancestral burdens. And we really just need to step into that opportunity. So for me, I really feel so passionately that we each have ancestral medicine. And so walking this path is something that each of us can do. It's not something that's, you know, you need any special skills to do. It's really just trusting your intuition, trusting that you have medicine, and knowing that there's so much support behind you to rewrite and recode your lineage, right? And so you can really alchemize burdens into blessings, so you can show up as the person that you were born to be, and really have this very deeply rooted sense of place in the lineage. Yeah.
Mm. I love this so much. And I'm the whole time I'm like, I'm so curious to hear your story too. How did you find out about your lineage? Were you always so connected to your ancestors, or was there a time in your life where you're like, I'm curious, I'm diving deep?
Mm-hmm. So my journey really began when I lived in England, which is one of my ancestral lineages, in addition to Irish, Scottish, Italian, and more. I have a real mix, like many Americans. But I was living in England, and I really felt this very strong calling from the land in particular to have this spiritual connection that was rooted into a sense of place. And as that journey kind of unfolded over a few years, I was part of a circle, a spiritual group, and we went to Stonehenge and Glastonbury and, you know, some of the sacred sites in that area. And I distinctly remember having this moment at Stonehenge where I felt my ancestors are here in the land, and I could feel them standing all around. And there was this real moment of witnessing and seeing one another. And it was so moving. It actually brought me to my knees. I just collapsed on my knees and started crying, because there was this real awakening of that connection between land and lineage. And so that's kind of how this ancestral piece began. But the ancestral piece and the earth wisdom has always been very connected and interwoven for me, never separate. So yeah, I've really followed these threads now for, I think it's it's actually been, I sort of say 10 years in my bio, but it's actually really been more than that. I was 18 when I started this journey, as I just described, and now I'm 32. So it's been 14 years. And I'm just always learning more and more on this path and always going deeper and deeper. And I talk about this pathway being a spiral path. Spirals are something that we see a lot of in, you know, the Celtic sort of designs and what have you. In Ireland, there are sacred monuments that have spirals carved into them. It's a very, the symbol goes all the way back to the Neolithic period, more than 4,000 years ago. So this path of the spiral is continuously bringing me deeper and deeper and helping me to go to new levels and go to new depths. And it's a very initiatory path. You know, there are certain times when I feel like, oh, I'm being initiated again. I'm going around the spiral again. And it's really beautiful to be conscious of that. So yeah, I feel that, you know, this path has also really deepened for me as I've kind of gotten to know my ancestors more over the years. And really, I've really dove into certain aspects of my lineage. So the Irish part of my ancestry has really called to me ever since I went to Ireland in 2018. And I spent 2 months there. And following that 2 month journey, I ended up doing training with Irish mentors and what have you. And so I really feel since 2018 in particular, I've really committed to this path in a really deep way. And it's led me to do this work.
So beautiful. And as you were mentioning the spiral, and I see a spiral here in your background as well, and it reminds me of the labyrinth. And we have, you know, there are labyrinths all over the world. And we actually have one here in Las Vegas as well. And it's like this continuous circle that takes you deeper, and you start with in the beginning of the labyrinth with a question, and then you walk the labyrinth, and when you come into the center, it's like that's when you receive the answer. And it reminded me of the planets that are moving around the sun as the sun is moving through the universe, and the planets are basically creating the spiral around the timeline of the sun. And it's this feminine wisdom to like circle around. And even in astrology, like whenever we have a new understanding of ourselves, we're like spiraling around the zodiac to then dive into each of these areas in our lives and just go deeper in that, deeper into our relationships, deeper into our business, deeper into our self-care. You know, all these different areas, and it's such a beautiful journey.
As you were talking about the spiral too, I just was thinking about the last Moonblood art that I made right before we conceived our son. And in the middle of this painting was a spiral that's coming through that. In my intention, as I was painting it, I was just like taking me deeper and deeper into myself, self-understanding, self-knowledge, self-awareness, self-acknowledgement, self-reverence, self-respect. And this whole piece that erupted, that came out of this experience. Now I look at it and I'm like, oh yeah, that's a baby making blood moon blood art for sure. I should have known some symbols and some intentional activities are just too powerful for things not to spout out like that. It's definitely calling that in from the high self perspective that consciously I had no idea that I was actually really doing that. But of course, all of it makes sense in retrospect. That's really beautiful. And I love how much the spiral, I wanted to talk to you about this, how much the spiral pervades over so many different cultures. I know from the Native tradition too, seeing spirals everywhere. I'm looking at this beautiful hand on my Kokopelli altar that's in front of me that has a spiral in the middle of the hand as well. And you mentioned about the lineage and the land having this beautiful coalescence and they inform one another. And I'm so curious to hear your perspective because there are so many symbols and so many like pieces of earth wisdom that come upon different lineages all over the world from so long before we were communicating with each other. What is your insight on that?
We're about to go in a very different direction here. So, so I really have this strong intuitive sense, which also could be quite logical, that so many of our ancestors, ancient ancestors, who were, of course, earth-honoring people and sky-honoring people, were really observing nature in a very particular way. And so when they looked up at the sky, you know, they watched the movement of the planets and the stars, and they created stories. And that's why there's so many shared threads of, you know, different archetypes and themes and what have you. And I think this is in part due to all of our ancestors looking up at the same sky. And I really love the work of someone called Anthony Murphy. He's an Irish astronomer and scholar, and he talks about the connection between the Irish myths and the stars, the cycles, which I think is so beautiful. And also the monuments, because the monuments in Ireland are aligned with the position of the sun at certain times of year and the stars and what have you. And then I also feel that many of our ancient ancestors were ingesting psychedelic substances, and this really wove them into that, the kind of energy grid of the earth. And I think this is where a lot of this sort of similar kind of patterns we see across cultures maybe comes from. Again, that's just kind of my feeling, but to me, it's sort of slightly logical as well. And I was really actually excited that the last time I was at Brúna Boyne, which is called Newgrange, it's one of Ireland's most prolific sacred sites. It's a burial mound where you see these spirals and you see these Neolithic patterns, zigzags and lozenges and triangles and what have you carved into stone. And this site is incredibly old. Okay, so it's older than the pyramids of Giza. And I was really excited in the museum that they actually talked about the fact that they were probably doing psychedelics, and that's maybe where some of these patterns came from that they were carving into the stone. And so I think, you know, for me, psychedelics are just, they're a way for us to connect with our ancestors and also the earth in a very deep way. And the way that mycelium works is that, you know, they're connecting everything together, and they're so connected to the life cycle, you know, the death, life, rebirth cycle. And so I feel that that mycelial consciousness is one of the things that our ancient ancestors were really connected with. And of course, you know, this is something that we've really lost touch with in this society. And as we're coming into connection with it again, I think that there's a lot that is being misinterpreted and appropriated. And, you know, I think that there's a lot that we need to reflect on in how we come back into relationship with psychedelics and really honor the ancestors. So yeah, it's kind of a tangent there. Hopefully I answered your question though.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like when we think of the ancestors and we just go far enough back, we have the same ancestors,
mm-hmm.
right? So like, we just need to go far enough back to finding the source of us all.
Yeah. And it's really interesting. When we go back far enough in Europe anyways, Indo-Europe, really, there's so many connections between this ancestral wisdom and even language. There's so many similarities in the ancient languages. I was talking with a friend in Ireland, and he was telling me that he spent time he's living in Dubai. That's right. And so he's been learning some Farsi, and he also knows Irish. And he's like, it's so interesting how many similarities there are between Farsi and Irish. And, you know, they're both old languages. So it's really fascinating to start seeing these connections, right? And when we go back far enough, yes, we are all related. We are all ancestors. I actually read that you only have to go back 1,000 years in Europe and we all are related, right? So we all have the same ancestors. We just have to go back 1,000 years.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. That's so beautiful. I'm so curious because as you're speaking all of this, have you also done like the genetic DNA, you know, the ancestors.com, ancestry DNA, 123me kind of thing, yeah, to like find out what your, who are your ancestors are, or what was your path to like really finding out who your ancestors were?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think all of those tools are really amazing resources to have, right? One of the beautiful things about living in the modern world. And so, yes, I've used a site called myheritage.com, and my great uncle is sort of the story keeper on that particular side of the family. And he's shared a lot of information. My grandma on a different side of my family is the story keeper on that side of the lineage. So I've gotten a lot of information. I'm very blessed to have those connections, and I've gotten a lot of information from the story keepers, that's what I call them. And they have, you know, big binders full of documents and photos and all the things, which is really amazing. It's so funny. I ordered one of those DNA tests and I just never took it. I just had this real resistance to it. I don't know why, but I think, you know, for me, DNA is so sacred and there was something about it that just felt wrong. So I didn't do it, but I encourage people who do feel right about that to do it, because especially if you don't have family members who have the stories and what have you, maybe you don't know anything about your ancestors, it can be really helpful. Mm-hmm. Though I do know that those DNA tests aren't always, you know, they're not 100% accurate. So I think it's important to kind of take them with a pinch of salt. And if you have family stories, I feel that those are more valuable, more important, have more weight than what these sort of DNA tests say. And, you know, bringing both together is a really wonderful way to get a picture of your ancestry, of course. But yeah, those tools are really, really helpful for anyone who really doesn't know anything about their ancestors or knows very little. But I really feel that some of the most valuable wisdom that we get from the lineage is actually intuitive. So not to replace the stories and family history that you know, just again, a marrying of all of that.
Do you ever hear words like personal transformation and spiritual expansion, but don't quite know what that consists of or how to get started? Today, I have a very special invitation for you as two beautiful 40-minute free freebies have launched within the Hello Self world. My intention in creating these freebies was to make personal transformation and spiritual expansion approachable and inviting for everyone and anyone who wishes to enter the space. If you're more of a masculine learner, someone who loves diving into information based on pragmatic approaches, logic, detail-oriented, notation-taking, more of a student type of mindset who wants to sit down, learn, and loves a methodical process in order to do so, you're going to want to gain access to the 7-pillar process of transformation, the 40-minute training that really takes you into what the 7 pillars of transformation are and how you can begin endeavoring these processes today, right now in your own life. I've had clients give feedback to me that this free training alone has implemented absolutely life-changing results, and it's been a beautiful initiation process for them to begin dipping toes in the Hello Self world. If you find yourself as more of a feminine learner, someone who loves to feel deeply into an experience, to visualize, who loves guided meditations, who loves really sinking themselves into a process, then Adventure Your Inner Self Landscape is for you. Adventure Your Inner Self Landscape is a 40-minute guided meditation in which I take you through this really beautiful experience as you begin to literally adventure your own inner self mapping system, gaining awareness over what your current environment, climate, ecosystem, landscape really looks like, adorning yourself to adventure a process, witnessing the future timeline that you're striding toward, and beginning to endeavor that journey. Both of these freebies are so power-filled, and I'm really excited to offer them to you. To gain access to these awesome freebies, go to my Instagram at Britlyn Rising and click on the link in my bio, or you can head over to my website at britlynlabuff.com. You can also find the links to download in the episode description of this episode. Enjoy, and may your personal transformation process and pathway be power-filled, illuminating, and deliver you to turn your wildest dreams into your most abundant reality.
Totally. Yeah. The last Christmas that I had with my dad before he passed, I got both of us Ancestry.com tests. And I'm so glad that I did that. And I completely resonate with what you were saying. We actually have two genealogists, one on each side of the family. And on my dad's side, we go back to the 1400s. And well, our records go back to the 1400s, and the mom's side to the 1700s. And it's just beautiful to witness. Really, it's a lot of marriage documents, but you still, with the genealogy, it's been fascinating. I learned 16 generations ago, the reason that my paternal last name pervaded, and even two women in the lineage, even after they got married, they kept the paternal last name. And the reason for that is because Spain, at one time, instead of doing these like battles and wars that like big armies are going to battle against one another, the kings had fighters that would go and just fight the other fighter of the country. And then whoever won out of that battle would, you know, like win the freaking war, whatever. I don't even know how to talk about it. But the Rael fighter was the king's fighter. And he won that battle. And that's why the Rael line came down so much. And the day that I learned that, this warrior part of myself that sometimes it is an incredibly masculine expression, but I just felt so validated in that. And I truly feel this essence that I'm like, yeah, that is in my lineage. Even though it's 16 generations back, I feel this alive with so much vibrancy inside of me, and it wants to be expressed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's so amazing how we feel an affinity for certain aspects of our lineage or certain ancestors. You know, like your story is really beautiful. Like there's something about this warrior energy from that warrior ancestor that really resonates for you. But I don't know if you have siblings, but let's say you have a sister, your sister maybe wouldn't feel that. She's like, I don't feel that at all, you know? And I think it's really fascinating that we, you know, there's kind of like these constellations happening in our ancestors, our ancestral lineages that really draws us to certain aspects. So for example, you know, the Irish part of my ancestry is by no means the most dominant. I actually have a lot more English, which is really interesting. And I've done a lot of healing work between my Irish and English ancestors. But yeah, I really feel very strongly connected to that Irish thread of my lineage. And I really, when I kind of started on this path, I really got a strong sense that for whatever reason, it's my place in my lineage to bring that wisdom forward and to really kind of remember those stories and remember those ancestors and bring a weight to it, bring a value and a worth to like this part of the lineage deserves to be recognized and acknowledged. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting because I don't think anyone else in my family feels that. Mm-hmm. They feel like a lot of my family on one side feels really connected to our Italian ancestors. They really identify more as Italian American, even though it's half of the story, you know, the other half is English and Irish. So yeah, it's really fascinating how different people in the lineage embody certain things and have affinities for different things. And again, I feel that's all part of our, you know, ancestral destiny.
Mm-hmm. And I love what you just mentioned before this, where you said a lot of this wisdom is coming intuitively. A lot of this wisdom is coming from inside of you, of like how to connect with your ancestors and like what is coming through from your ancestry. Because there's only so much that we can learn from history. Mm-hmm. Right? History is written by the winners. And so many stories have been lost along the way. So I'm curious, what are your ways and methods to dive deep into ancestral wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to speak to the first part of that, what you just shared, that so many of our ancestral stories are lost. And it's really, to me, it's very important to acknowledge how much has been lost, because as a modern society, at least here in the States and in many other cultures around us, you know, there's a real fragmentation and sort of an amnesia, a forgetting mm-hmm. of what it means to be connected to the ancestors and be really a living expression of them and be in communion with them. And so it's important to honor that so much has been lost and that we need to reclaim it. Mm-hmm. So from one of my lineages, so I have Irish on two sides. On one side, we know virtually nothing. All I know is that this particular family came from Ireland. I don't even know their name, like their Irish name, right? And they came, they went to England, which, you know, they would have had to have hidden who they were. And really, there was a lot happening between the dynamics between Ireland and England when they would have come over from Ireland, migrated. So it's important to honor these stories that have been lost. Some of the ways that I really like to connect is through what I call embodied acknowledgement. So it's sort of one thing to, in your head, conceptualize, okay, I've got these ancestors and maybe here's some things that I know about them. And here are some painful patterns I recognize in my lineage and, you know, what have you, to kind of do like the mental work of doing that, or collecting stories like on ancestry.com and the DNA stuff. That's all very sort of heady, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then when we come into the body, that's when we really start getting that intuitive wisdom. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I love to sing and sound, and that's always a pathway for me into the realm of spirit. And so a lot of times connecting with my ancestors will look like singing to them, singing into communion with them. And then sometimes as I'm singing and sounding, maybe I'm drumming as well, messages will come through and I'll feel them in my body and I'll feel the ancestral pain and really honor it and release it and do that through sound and do that through breath and movement. And, you know, these are my ways of doing the embodiment piece. There are many, right? But really coming into the body to release and reclaim is so important. Otherwise it does just end up being in our heads and there's only so far we can go with that. So that's something that I really feel passionately about, is this embodied acknowledgement piece, that we really acknowledge our ancestors in an embodied way. And this is something I'm going to be guiding women through in my upcoming retreat, which is an online retreat, which is happening the 14th, 15th, and 16th of this month. So happening super soon. And I'm really excited to really guide women in this process. And I've done this before, and it's just so powerful to see what happens when women gather together, get into their bodies, and connect with their ancestors. There's true magic inside of that container. Yeah.
So beautiful. You know, what you were speaking of at the end there brings us back to where we were about to go at the very beginning of the episode. And I know that all of us are less free with our time this morning, with other commitments, and to dive fully into that, which was a big intention for this episode. I'd love to turn the direction in that place. What you just mentioned about the power and the magic and the beauty that comes together, that comes innately when women come together, and for your inspiration for this course to be in connection with the ancestors. What we just experienced around Joshua Tree for my blessing way, it's so powerful, like on a visceral, embodied level, to feel into that power and magic and grace and just like it's like full human experience. If you are listening to this right now and you're like, wow, what is this even? What are they talking about? This beauty and power and magic. When women come together, it's like, I have girlfriends all the time. I have, you know, friends, and it's just like, whatever. It's like friendship. It's beautiful. Love it. Dope. And there's something so sacred and so special that it like catapults it to an entirely different level of healership and the witnessing and the palpable beauty of when women come together and witness one another and acknowledge one another. And it's a free and open space to purely see and be seen, to express yourself to the fullest. Like after the blessing way, I got all these phone calls and text messages, because it was a lot of women's first time really sitting in a ceremony like that or attending a blessing way at all. And they were just like, my life has changed after this experience. I will never be the same. I've never been with women that you can just, there's no judgment. You can just fully express yourself. And I wonder if you could speak to that. I know it's such a gift for you to hold this space for women and for the women that haven't maybe experienced this type of beauty. Mm-hmm. How do you describe it to them?
Yeah, it's something that goes beyond words, but I will do my best. So it's interesting. You had your mother blessing just this morning, really beautiful. And I actually hosted a mother blessing ceremony for my sister-in-law. This was quite a few years ago now. Her daughter's almost six. So it was probably about 6 years ago. And I remember gathering this group of women together who, like you just said, you know, a lot of them had just never been in an intentional circle before. And I called in the ancestors and I had every woman say her name and the name of her people, like her mother, her father, her grandparents, you know, whoever she felt called to call in. And there was one woman, and as soon as she started saying the name of her mother and her grandmother, she just started crying. And she didn't stop for a long time. It was real, really deep crying, not just, you know, a little teary. It was like really deep crying. And she was like, I don't know why I'm crying so much. This is just so, there's so much emotion as I'm saying the name of my grandmother and, you know, feeling that sense of lineage and being in circle. And for me, you know, being in circle, not just with women, being in circle with anyone, but being in circle with women is especially magic for me. And I feel that it's really in our ancestral memory. Mm-hmm. When I look at many of the ancient cultures around the world, including in Ireland and Britain, the houses and the buildings were circular. So I have so many ancestral memories of gathering inside what are called roundhouses in Ireland and Britain, and being in deep relationship with women, but also, you know, with the whole community. And for me, you know, our ancestors want us to be in community. It's really unnatural that we've become so separate from one another, that we live so separate and that we operate in these sort of siloed families. It's very unnatural and has not been happening for very long at all. And so for me, you know, when we gather in circle as women, it's a remembering of the way that we used to gather and our ancestors gathered in generations past. So for me, there's something very ancestral and very deep about it. And it is just beyond words, the feeling of it. And it can bring up so many emotions, right? Like the woman who cried saying the name of her mother and her grandmother and being just held in that space. Yeah. Mm.
Hannah, this reminds me of the conversation we were having on the way home from the blessing way. Do you want to touch on that too?
Yeah, I just started tearing up again as you were speaking on the roundhouses and the people gathering together. It's such a deep dream of mine to live in conscious community and have that village, like especially since I became a mother 6 years ago, and actually almost to the date we had the very first gathering of women that Britt here also co-facilitated. And that was my blessing way for my daughter who was born 6 years ago. So I love how you were just saying, yeah, that was 6 years ago. Like, mm-hmm.
And that turned into Sacred Sister Gathering, which was moon ceremonies. And then my mom was about to pass. So we transitioned moon ceremony, Sacred Sister Gathering to Sacred Sister Podcast. And here we are. Here it all are. Started with Emma's blessing way.
Yes, that's the lineage of Sacred Sister Podcast. Mm-hmm. And so since I became a mom, I realized even more so the importance of a village, the importance of a community, and realizing how unnatural it feels to just have the raising of a child being dependent on the mother and the father, especially for, in our case, my husband's parents have crossed over. My parents are in Germany and we live in the United States. So we don't have that direct lineage with us. And so that desire for community is even stronger. And it truly, we just talked about this, that village of women where we can all come together and raise our children and we watch our children play with each other. It's like a whole nother level than, my gosh, my daughter looks outside of the window here. And we live in the neighborhood and she looks at it and she's like, why are there walls, mom? Why are there walls between these houses? I want to tear down all these walls and I want to be friends with all these people. And she's a moon in Aquarius too. So she loves community and friends, but I'm just like, I feel you, babe. Like, why are there stone walls between us? Why have we become so isolated with each other? And it's because the way that neighborhoods are now created is not because we are even consciously, some of us don't even know their neighbors. You know, I know some of my neighbors, but others I don't even know. And it's not that we're intentionally came together and we're like, yes, we're doing this together. And we have this community center and this is where we gather and we have ceremony. Like, we don't even know. Everybody has their individual lives and we just live in houses next to each other. And so everybody needs their private space, which makes sense. And I'm still all about private space and that community aspect and bringing that back, that roundhouse, that community center. And this is a big reason why I'm also homeschooling our daughter, because there is a whole homeschooling community in Las Vegas and we meet up and there it has that flair and that sense of community and family and village, even though we're not living right next to each other, but at least we meet up mm-hmm. during the weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's really beautiful and makes sense for the times that we live in to create the village in new ways, you know, it's because the reality is that the way that we live, you know, in our houses and all of that isn't necessarily the kind of community we're looking for anyway. We really want to be with like-minded people, like-hearted people. So it sometimes requires us like getting out of our houses and out of our, you know, very, very small locality and connecting with people who kind of have the same values and what have you. So I think, yeah, it's a really beautiful thing in these times of change to, you know, ask the questions you're asking and for all of us to really think about how we want to be in relationship with each other. And I think a big part of community that people don't always talk about is, you know, we need to learn how to get through some difficult things. We need to learn conflict resolution. We need to understand each other's traumas. We need to understand our own traumas because I feel like I've heard that's why a lot of sort of conscious communities sometimes have difficulty because there isn't that kind of, there isn't that sense of like, how do we get through challenges? How do we get through conflict? So yeah, I think it's really important for us to be asking these questions and it's not easy in because of the way that we live and how much we have to work and what have you. It's really limiting. So I think it's really powerful for us to come together and start dreaming into some of these ways that we can sort of rebuild the village in whatever way is sort of going to work for our modern lives.
Wow. Absolutely. You know, I so deeply appreciate this conversation. I know that we would be here for a while more. really want to honor everyone's time here today. And I feel like we're just hitting the tip of the iceberg with you. I know I'm going to be diving so much deeper into all that it is that you offer and all the ways that you sit with people. I heard about the digital retreat coming up. Do you have some other pieces that people are able to dip into to connect with you on a deeper level?
Yeah, thank you. So I'll just say a few words about the retreat that's coming up, because that's coming up very soon now. It's next week. So it's called Matriarchal Medicine Carriers. And it's really a deep dive initiation journey into ancestral healing. And we're working specifically with the mother line. So your mother's mother's lineage of women, where, you know, there is a lot of patriarchal trauma and patriarchal wounding that manifests in the lineage as a lot of different dysfunctional coping mechanisms and patterns and what have you. And, you know, one of the biggest sort of symptoms of patriarchal trauma in the mother line is the mother-daughter split. So we're going to kind of be diving into some of these topics, looking at the patterns of patriarchal trauma and how we heal those. There's going to be that deep embodied acknowledgement that I talked about. And then we sort of complete the process with conscious choice. Like, how are you consciously showing up in your lineage? How are you consciously rewriting painful patterns? How are you consciously claiming the blessing of your lineage? So it's going to be really deep and really beautiful. I ran this retreat back in 2021, and it was really, really powerful. So yeah, I invite anyone who's listening, you're very welcome to join me for that experience. There's a really powerful circle of women gathering for that. And then if you are interested in learning about the ancestral traditions of Ireland and Britain, I also have a variety of teachings around that. So I have a membership community called The Roundhouse, talking of how we gather together in sisterhood and community in these modern times. This is an online membership of like-hearted, like-minded women who are honoring the ancestral wisdom traditions from Ireland. And we specifically connect with nature-based feminine wisdom, the goddesses, the seasons, all those kinds of things. So that's called The Roundhouse. And I have a lot of other teachings as well, but those are really the two main things. And my website is tara-wild.com. So you can see all of my offerings there.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. We'll be sure to list all of this, as well as your contact info and website, in the podcast description of this episode. Was there something that you wanted to say before we head into the sacred questions?
Yes, I'm just so curious. Is Wild your actual last name? Is that
No, it's not. But I, you know, I really feel the power of naming ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I really felt the call to give myself a name that felt resonant with what I'm offering. Mm-hmm. So yes, it's not my family name. I love my family name, but yes, Wild is not my true name. Though, yes, I really honor that I chose that name for myself. And it does feel very perfect for what I am bringing to the world, I suppose.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I concur completely. So, Miss Tara, we really love at the end of our guest feature interviews to ask these three sacred questions. And really, these are more short format, whatever rises to your heart that wants to be shared. Are you ready?
Yes, I am ready. It sounds great.
Beautiful. What does sacred mean to you?
For me, the first word that comes to mind is reverence. And when something is sacred, really everything is sacred, but it's to really acknowledge something in a reverent way and to be in communion with it in a very multidimensional, deep way.
Beautiful. And who is a sacred sister to you, and what does it mean to have a sacred sister?
Gosh, I have so many sacred sisters, and they take many different forms and they walk many different paths in life. And for me, it's really being able to share a deep part of myself with those sacred sisters. And those sacred sisters see different parts of me and I see different parts of them. And we have this beautiful reciprocity of deeply seeing and honoring one another.
I love that. How do you turn something normal or mundane into something magical or sacred?
Bring your love to it. Really love that aspect of the mundane and be in devotion to it and be in reverence of it. And just open your heart to it in a way that really transcends the logical mind, and just open your heart to be in communion.
Wow. Thank you so much, Tara. I just realized that we didn't even get to go deeper into your astrology chart.
Not at all. We had a feeling this would happen, though. This was a very concise, okay, to the point interview today.
And I can talk forever. Like, the hour just went by so fast. So I was like, oh, we're already at time. That's so funny.
I know, it's wild. And I can just say there's so many things that are in your chart that are beautifully depicting what you're doing in your soul mission. And that's like, that's, for me, it's like the most beautiful part about astrology, when I look into our soul blueprint and see, okay, what is our highest timeline? How can we truly show up in this lifetime? How can we use the archetypes that we have inside of us to fully share our medicine with the world? And you're doing it. So
thank you both so much. I really have enjoyed this conversation.
Beautiful. And we want to thank each and every one of you here in our Sacred Sister podcast audience and community. Thank you so much for being here with us. Sacred Sister podcast would not be what it is without your beautiful ears, your beautiful interest. Thank you for being here with us. And we hope that if it is resonant on your heart, you will connect with Tara Wild more deeply. And until then, thank you so much for sitting with us, and all the blessed best in connecting with your own line and lineage and land. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode, beloved. If you found the ideas, concept, message, and mission to be in alignment with what you want to see and hear rippling throughout the collective, for heaven's sake, we invite you to be a part of that ripple creation and share it with your sacred sisters, brothers, and beings alike. You have no idea the impact a simple share can make in someone's day, in their life, in their growth.
Another way to share your support is by leaving us a rating or review on the app you're tuning into this from. If your Instagram feed is in need of more uplifting, conscious, spiritual content, follow us at Sacred Sister Podcast. So, with that being said, we hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and we'll see you in the next episode. Namaste, beloved.
Bye.